B-Pod Studios.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Noah says it like they do.
What do you mean?
Well, what do you mean?
Felger and Mads.
I'm just making it up. Totally making it up.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Hour number two here, Felger and Mads. Mike is out today. As is Murray, for that matter. Adam Jones alongside. Matt McCarthy here to give us headlines.
Just to cheer you all up, Jones and McCarthy in.
Yeah, exactly right. Yeah, two of the darkest, most notorious people on the station. McCarthy, by the way, was ready to kick the Red Sox out of Boston after the first weekend of the season. Yes. Remember that?
That's fake news. I always believe, Mass.
It's a good take.
Yeah.
Get out of my city.
Spot on.
Get out, he said.
First of 50.
Yeah. Yeah. Since that time, they've gone 50 and whatever that is. Well, no, today, last time was 81, right? Yeah. They've gone 50 and 28.
Yep, McCarthy magic. What can you say?
They've been like the best team on the planet since McCarthy ripped them.
Yep. I still like the take.
I'm going to give you credit, Matt. I think you woke them up.
No, again, it's McCarthy magic. It's like Morgan magic.
I think you absolutely woke them up.
And but, I was spot on about Garrett Richards, too. So there you go.
But the Red Sox are up 9-0 on the Royals right now. They're in the bottom of the sixth when that game is complete. We will turn to the Red Sox. No point doing it now, though, while they're still on the field. So 617-779-0985 is your number. I do want to just quickly shift gears and bring up the NBA last night. The Phoenix Suns absolutely annihilated the Clippers last night. I think they won that game 130-103. I don't have it in front of me, but it was something like that.
Yeah, it ended up, I mean, it was closer. It was like a 10-point game at one point in the fourth quarter. You know, Steve Ballmer, the owner of the Clippers, was doing some awkward things on the sideline.
Sure was.
And then the game really got blown open from there, yeah.
And the Suns have played well on the road throughout the postseason. And they are now in the NBA Finals. And so we mentioned this a little earlier in the playoffs, but I think it's worth bringing up now as the Celtics have gone through this transition. Brad Stevens now running the basketball operation. Ime Udoka in as head coach. Wick Rausbeck was here the other day, and it got a little bit contentious. And I always think that those things are related to, you know, again, he has a right to get contentious with us. I mean, who wouldn't for granted? Maybe it's related to nothing. But I do think that the nature of the season was one that had, you know, everybody's baseline a little bit lower than it would normally be. You know, no one's going to be tolerant of irritation when you have the kind of year the Celtics had. And so now that Phoenix is in, see, I always compared Phoenix and the Celtics a little bit because they were built similarly, Pac-Man. Mm-hmm. I mean, Phoenix got Devin Booker. They took Josh Jackson, who was a bust, but DeAndre Ayton was the number one overall pick. And then, you know, they've had some, they had a coaching change in there, and obviously they brought in a veteran guy with some young, talented players.
They blew out the GM, too.
Right, Ryan McDonough. Mm-hmm. They got the right mix. So now all of a sudden, here are the Suns, and they're in the NBA Finals for the first time in, you know, almost 30 years. And I can't help but look at the Suns and say, that should have been the Celtics. That's exactly the model the Celtics should have had. They should have been the kind of team that, you know, had young, talented players, developed them, integrated the veterans, and now here you go, all of a sudden you're in the NBA Finals. Am I wrong to feel that way?
No, I think you're totally right to feel that way. And, you know, I have admitted before, I was not the biggest Chris Paul fan for years and years. He's proven me wrong this year to a degree. And I think the one thing that he does that Kemba didn't do is that Chris Paul's a team player. Like, Kemba's a good teammate, but Kemba is a shoot-first guy.
And he's a facilitator, is
Chris
what you
Paul,
mean.
Yes, Chris Paul is a pass-first guy.
We're big on facilitation on this show, John.
Particularly today in your position,
I was going to say, I notice it more from that seat than yeah. Than any of the others. But yes, but Kemba is a shoot-first guy. And that blend, that mix, to use your word, didn't work very well with Tatum and Brown. And so Chris Paul comes in and, you know, he can get his points when he needs to, 41 last night or whatever he had. But you get Devin Booker shots. You get Ayton, you know, runs to the rim and dunks and things like that. Chris Paul could do that. Kemba Walker just couldn't. Good teammate. Seems like a good enough guy. But on the floor, he was a guy who looked for his shot first.
I just know this, that if I were a Celtics fan, this would piss me off a little. It would bug me because how many times have we had the discussion, look at the teams around the league that have two good young players. They're littered everywhere under the age of 25. And Booker, I think, now is a little bit older, right? He's been in the league a little longer, I think, than Jaylen Brown has. So just check for me how many years Booker's been.
This 24 is his, years old.
I was going to say, I thought he was pretty young.
Okay, yeah, he's Brown's age.
Is his sixth year or no? Might be a sixth year.
Don't make me do that
in
math.
Year
man.
Six.
Okay, correct. So he's just 1 year ahead in, you know, of those guys. But this is exactly what the Celtics, and look, I understand the Celtics were trying to do it, but Phoenix got it right. Phoenix got it right. It worked. Or did they? You tell me. Is this an NBA championship roster? Is it an NBA finals kind of team?
Well, let's see who they face in the NBA finals, because Phoenix has had a very easy path. They played in round one. And they were able to play against, now I'm blanking on who they played in round one. Who did they get round one?
The Lakers.
Thank you. Without Anthony Davis. Sorry, that's a huge one.
And LeBron hobbled.
Lakers without Anthony Davis and LeBron mailing it in. That's who they got round one. I thought they'd lose round one, by the way. Round two, they get the Nuggets.
They swept the Nuggets.
No Jamal Murray. This round, they haven't seen any of Kawhi Leonard. Kawhi Leonard hasn't played a game in this round. They might get the Bucks without Giannis in the NBA Finals. So, I mean, look, you can only play who's there in front of you, but when you really look at it, it hasn't been the most impressive run I've ever seen to the NBA Finals. It's pretty wide open when you're playing a team every round without a star.
Okay, so I'll tell you what, take the Bucks out of it. What if they get Atlanta? Does it matter?
No, I don't know if it matters. Fair point. I mean, I don't think there's the greatest representative in the East. So again, you can only play who you can play. I'm not putting an asterisk on the championship, but just, it hasn't exactly been the most difficult road I've ever seen to get there.
I mean, it's akin to the road the Bruins had to the Cup in 2019, if you ask me. Now, they didn't win it, but boy, did the Bruins get an easy road that year. And that didn't occur to me with Phoenix until you mentioned it.
I would agree. I hate to cross sports, but I would agree, yes.
No, no Anthony Davis, no Murray, Jamal Murray, so the Nuggets were without their second-best player, and no Kawhi Leonard, who's one of the top three players in the league.
Yeah, and look, Murray is in a different class than Davis and Kawhi. So if you think we're stretching it a little bit in the second round, whatever. I mean, that's another, you know, significant player that was out. But yeah, I mean, it's been an easy path. Phoenix looks against, you know, a fully loaded team if they finally get one in the NBA Finals.
Doesn't it go to show the importance of actually posting and actually showing up, and maybe things break your way if, you know, you actually show up in the regular season, you are a second seed, and things break your way, and here you go, maybe you win an NBA championship. Doesn't it go to show that the Celtics and their failure to post this year really is a bad, bad look for them? Because, I don't know, let's just say the Celtics were top four seed, you avoid Brooklyn, they get knocked off, you get the Bucks in the final round. Like, I know there are a lot of ifs, ands, or buts in there, but just be there, just show up. Don't have a horrible year, don't end up in the play-in game. Maybe something breaks your way, maybe you get really lucky. And then maybe you're in the NBA Finals, and who the hell knows what happens. The Suns showed up this year. Good for them, and things are breaking their way. Good for them.
Well, so, and they took advantage of a break.
Yeah.
Right? The Suns took advantage of a break. The Celtics failed at that last year. Celtics had a break last year. They had it all right there in front of them. Freaking Miami in the Eastern Conference Final, and they choked. So, I mean, there's something to be said for that. You know, when there is an opportunity, you got to take advantage of it. And Phoenix, to their credit, is.
Well, and Pac-Man, here's the other thing. And look, the Celtics lost Jaylen Brown, too. Okay, so I can't completely ignore that. So this is what I was just going to say.
They were horrible all year with him, but sure.
If they were a higher seed, though, okay, if they were a higher seed, to Matt's point, well, they wouldn't have faced Brooklyn in the first round.
Right.
And then as the postseason went on, James Harden pulled a hamstring, which, I'm sorry, was a matter of time, because that fat dump was not in shape from the beginning of the year.
Yeah, he didn't look great.
Okay, so that was going to happen no matter what. Kyrie rolled an ankle, Embiid got hurt, Giannis has gone down, so they've missed the opportunity. Phoenix capitalized, the Celtics missed it. So now look, the one thing, and I've heard people say this, and it's not wrong. The teams that went deep in the bubble last year have all had injuries. They've all had them. Mm-hmm. And maybe the Celtics were a victim of that, too, because Jaylen Brown got hurt late in the year. So maybe that was going to happen, too. I'm trying to be fair about that. But at the same time, I do look at it and say, Phoenix's guys showed up. They got the mix right. They played together. Now they're in the finals, and they might win a championship. Phoenix might win the championship now. Not just because they're in the final. If, as you said, Giannis is out potentially. And if Giannis doesn't come back and Atlanta wins, well, now you get the Hawks in the finals. The Suns and the Hawks. Who would have bet on that?
Sounds like a good final.
Oh, my gosh. Ridiculous. Ridiculous. Barbara's in Beverly. Babs.
Hey, how are you guys?
Good. How are you?
I'm good. I want to talk about the egomaniac, okay? You guys have to realize he's a great defensive coach.
Mike's off today.
I'm with Guy in Boston. I'm with all those people. He's a great defensive coach. I don't think he's anything else. I think it's overblown. I've watched football forever. I'm not anywhere near as knowledgeable as you guys, but I have two eyes, and Tom Brady went and won a Super Bowl, and stop putting him down for his endorsement. He's very insecure. If you can't tell that, you guys know people.
Okay.
I love you guys.
Well,
bye-bye.
We love you too, Barbara. Thank you for the call. So we asked earlier, Bill Belichick is number one on rated as the number one coach in the league by the big lead. Roto World does a similar.
Yeah, you can go to any. My real point is you can go to any list. He's number one on all of them because nobody thinks.
And you don't think he's a top coach in the league anymore. I turn that into a question, Jones, of is Bill Belichick what he used to be as a coach? Mm-hmm. As a coach. And can you hold 2020 against him? Because it was not a good year for Belichick, the coach. And I think you can hold 2020 against him. So Bill now has something to prove without Brady. So, I don't have quite the same level of coach, faith in Belichick as a coach as I did before. And I mean, if other people do, well, fine, good for them. I don't. To me, the quarterback makes the job infinitely easier. You got Brady out there. You can do all kinds of stuff. You can defer. You take the ball at the end of the second quarter, the beginning of the third, because you can get the double score there because Brady can run the clock like anybody down the stretch there, and then you get the ball and he'll take it down the field again. You don't need a punter. You don't have to really worry about special teams as much because if someone pins you at the 10-yard line, Brady's going to take you down the field. There's no issue there.
Your defense stays fresh.
All of it. It's just a hell of a lot easier to coach.
You got a hell of a good punter now, though. At least we got that.
But you know, I just think that once you take the mistakes the Patriots made in coaching last year, I don't think it's a coincidence that it's happened as soon as Brady's gone. Lots of teams run into clock management issues. All of a sudden, they don't protect the football. And we point to all those things and say it's bad coaching. And it's just a hell of a lot harder to coach when you don't have the quarterback. So to me, I question it with Bill. I do agree with Babs, though, that Bill on defense, I trust. So I trust him to come up with a game plan that will make it hard on a great offense. They did it last year in Kansas City.
Yeah, they also couldn't stop the run by December. So, like, I don't know. I feel like if he could still scheme it up on defense, he would have maybe kind of sorted that out.
Because Bill decided not to employ linebackers last year, which was an interesting choice.
But, Jones, you don't have confidence in anybody to do anything.
Yeah, I'd say that's about accurate. Okay. Yeah.
So I'm just telling you that I do have confidence in Belichick on the defensive side of the ball.
What a douche.
Jimmy, that was a classic Jones. It means that he doesn't agree and not really.
Yeah, right? It's just, you know, I mean, I can only explain my point so many times. Yeah, he didn't have a good year last year anywhere.
Meanwhile, there was something else that happened with the Celtics in our interview with Wick Welsbeck this week that irritated the crap out of Matt McCarthy. We'll tell you what that was when we come back on Felger and Mouth.
Boston's home for sports.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Felger and Mass.
I'm just going to ramble and rant for 15 minutes if you let me. I'm not joking.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Well, Wick, just out of curiosity, I got to ask, like, how did you feel when Kyrie stopped on the logo? Because we all know how passionate you are about the team. And, like, fans lost their minds. So how did you feel after game four when he did that?
I read Twitter, but I didn't post anything on Twitter because I don't post on Twitter.
All right, welcome back to Felger and Mass. Sorry about that. 617-779-0985.
You know the music means we're supposed to talk, right, Mass?
You know what? I'm not hearing the show properly. I don't know what the hell's wrong with my headphones. But anyway, Jimmy, did we actually play a cut there?
Yeah, we played Wick talking about stomping on the logo or not talking about it. Because Matt McCarthy had a thought on it while they were shoveling in more salad.
Well, so this is why I'm asking, because I wasn't... All right, you bagged me for crying out loud. I'm sorry. I do. I am allowed to eat lunch, you know.
No one's disputing that. It's just on TV, there's this long shot, and you're just shoveling in salad.
I'll dispute that. Is that in your contract? Are you allowed to do that?
It was a cucumber slice. It had feta cheese on it, in case you're wondering.
It sounds delicious.
No, it's actually pretty good.
Don't choke on the cucumber.
I'd expect a gif of that. Gif of that on the internet within the next, I'd say, 15 minutes.
Careful how you say that, Jimmy.
If he chokes on that, I would like to say I'm interested in joining the Felger Mass program full time.
So again,
you're on my list.
Thanks, Jimmy.
So again, Murray asked Wick Grousbeck about Kyrie stomping on the logo, wiping his feet on the logo. Wick Grousbeck definitely sidestepped the question, didn't really get to it, or didn't address it. Matt McCarthy had an opinion on this. Go ahead, Matt.
My God. I know it's the stupid logo, okay? Who cares about the logo? It's a stupid, petulant act by Kyrie Irving. But at what point is somebody associated with the Boston Celtics organization outside of Cedric Maxwell, who I believe has been the only person associated with the Boston Celtics, that and Kevin Garnett as well, but the only two people who with the Celtics have criticized Kyrie Irving publicly for that are former players. Anybody else going to come out and speak out against Kyrie Irving? Is anybody else going to come out and finally criticize this guy? Because all the Celtics have done for the last 4 years is kiss this guy's ass, and it hasn't worked. It has not worked. It didn't work when you tried to keep him here. It hasn't worked after he left in the hopes that he'd talk good about you around the NBA and he'd increase your reputation and he wouldn't badmouth you. Because no, all Kyrie Irving has done has been leave you at the altar, destroy your team, ruin your championship dreams, block them for the foreseeable future by forming a super team on the team that you pillaged to try and start all of this, kick your ass in the playoffs, stomp on your logo, call your city racist, all these things. And yet nobody in this organization, nobody is willing to come out and criticize this guy. Will somebody please just go scorched earth on Kyrie Irving? Somebody associated with the Celtics, instead of just doing the thank you, sir, may I have another guy?
Why do you think they don't?
Because they're terrified of what he'll say about them around the NBA. But has it worked in the last 2 years?
Well,
you know he's bad-mouthing them around the league.
In a way it has. Tatum hasn't asked out yet. And if you look, I largely agree with what you're saying, by the way. So this is mainly devil's advocate. But like, they're probably worried about how Tatum would take any criticism of Kyrie would be my guess. Tatum's close with him, right?
Yeah, went to the victory party.
You know, I don't think Jaylen is. But, you know, some of the players on this roster, Tatum included, still like Kyrie. And Kyrie still has large influence in the league. So, like, is Kyrie going to tell anybody else to go to Boston? Maybe not. But you start dragging Kyrie through the mud and going scorched earth on him, as you said. And now Tatum hears that and he says, all right, maybe I don't want to be here anymore. I mean, I bet that's what they're afraid of, if I had to guess.
Yeah, but I mean, let's be honest. Kyrie's probably telling him that in the first place at, you know, the Brooklyn Nets victory party when Jason Tatum shows up there. Like, I mean, this whole approach hasn't worked. I understood why they took this approach when he left. It's important for players around the league to speak well of your franchise and all that. But he's bad-mouthing you privately. He's bad-mouthing you publicly. He's calling your city racist. He's stomping on your logo. He's kicking your ass. He's ruining your franchise. He's blocking your championship aspirations. Will he eventually just come out and say something slightly negative about the guy? Like, will you stand up for yourselves? Will you show some pride eventually if you're the Boston Celtics? Because the only two people associated with the Boston Celtics who have said anything, two former players, Cedric Maxwell, Kevin Garnett. That's it.
So I'll tell you, I mean, to me, it's not the owner's place to talk about that. Like, and I, when I say it, he could have, but it's not something that I would put on Wick or expect Wick to address or to answer. What I do expect is for the team to answer on the floor. That I do expect. And I know this is, you know, this is all, was all a little bit a different year and whatnot, and the series was not winnable or what have you. I didn't feel like they answered on the floor.
No.
I didn't feel like they. So to me, I look at the players and say, are you going to let that guy come into your building and sort of step all over your logo? I wanted to see the Celtics answer like they did in Game 3 when Jason Tatum took the game over. That's what I wanted to see. So I put that one on the players. That's about competitiveness. That's about, you know, defending your territory and your place on the floor. That's about all that stuff. And so when it's time to play the game, we're going to play the game. You're going to wipe our feet on the, you're going to wipe your feet on our logo? Fine, we're going to take a dump on you on the floor. That's what we're going to do. I wanted to see them answer that way, and I don't think they did.
They're not talented or capable of that, so maybe somebody could just say something once.
They are talented, though. They're more talented they're more talented than they showed, Matt.
They're more talented than they showed. But they're not as talented as the Nets. Well,
pushback in Game 5. No. Talent or not, there was no pushback in Game 5.
Yeah, right. No heart, no pride, all that.
I'm just telling you, I put that one on the players. I don't put it on the owner. And look, again, Matt, you're entitled to believe what you want to believe, and the general point is well taken, that nobody really did anything about it. Not that they're going to pick a fight, per se, but how about just play it tough on the floor?
Well, Maz, it's not necessarily about that one incident, because, again, I don't care about the stupid logo. Like, I mean, I think those things are childish and petulant anyway. It's just, it was kind of the visual of the last 4 years. It's like, you've kissed this guy's ass.
Right. How long are you going to let him walk all over you?
Exactly.
Literally and figuratively.
Uh-huh. I mean, he walked all over you while you were here because you were trying to keep him. Then you're letting him walk all over you now, even though he's left and has left your franchise in complete and total ruin. And you're still letting him walk all over you, and you're still kissing this guy's ass, and you're still saying, thank you, sir, may I have another? Like, at what point is somebody in that organization just going to stand up for themselves?
So I got you, Matt. For a team that throws around the phrase Celtic pride, yep. They actually didn't demonstrate a lot of it this year.
Not
especially on the floor. I got you loud and clear.
And they haven't in the last 4 years with that player.
So we'll touch on the NHL playoffs here, too, in the next little bit. And then looks like we're going to be able to get to the Red Sox earlier in the program than we thought, because they're actually playing a reasonably crisp and fast baseball game over at Fenway Park today. This one might actually end, dare I jinx the crap out of it.
I'd say it's over.
No. But I mean, it might end in like less than 3 hours.
Oh, I see. Yes.
I don't mean the Red Sox are playing a crisp game. I mean that the teams are playing a fast-moving, crisp, well-paced game that might actually end in like 2:45. So we'll get to that a little bit later here in the show. I do want to touch on the NHL playoffs, though. We'll do that after McCarthy gets you caught up on headlines.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Felger and Mass, number one, because they know how to build winning relationships.
Ooh, isn't the show so great when you're not there, Felger? Yeah, I got a ton of those. I sent those.
Felger and Mass, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Here in Felger and Mass. I just wanted to touch base quickly on the NHL playoffs last night. Tampa Bay defeated Montreal again. That series now 2-0. The Canadiens, I think, outshot the Lightning last night about 2-1.
I was going to say, at one point it was like 40-20. I don't know where it finished, but yeah, it was something like that.
It was something like 43-24, something of the like. It was basically 2-1 in shots. The goals that Carey Price gave up last night, with the exception of one of them, soft. Two of the goals were soft.
Oh, yeah, the Edmondson one wasn't his fault.
Second goal at the end of the period?
No. The third one. The Edmondson one where he dumped it off behind the boards and then, you know.
Oh, that was brutal.
Brutal
goal. Brutal. That was akin to the one the Capitals gave up to the Bruins, mm-hmm. for crying out loud. Samsonov, that was absolutely dreadful. But that second Tampa Bay goal, oh, my God, was that a thing of beauty. Jimmy, can we play that, actually? That second Tampa Bay Lightning goal? From last night, what did you see this play, Jones?
Yeah, the Coleman goal.
What a play this was in that game. Let's go ahead, Jim.
Good roll, carries across the blue line, open right circle.
No.
Pass in front, score!
What a job!
What a goal by Blake Coleman! And it counts.
0.3 seconds, David.
0.3 of a second on the clock, and it's 2-1 Lightning.
I mean, that play was ridiculous.
It was not the greatest goal call, but yes, it was a great play. Yes.
I mean, for those that didn't see it, it was basically, you know, pass from right wing to the center, and Coleman dove to tip it into the top corner. And it was
0.3 seconds
again, right?
David.
With time running out. Sorry, Jim.
Tenth of a second on the clock.
Oh, it was a phenomenal play, and so let me just give you what my thought is on this series quickly, because I know you have one too, Jones.
Sure.
The Canadians have had the goaltending edge in every series that they have played. They don't have the edge anymore. And I'm not sure Tampa does either. It might be a draw. Price was not great last night. He was not good. The other guy was outstanding. And even the goal he gave up was not great, but he made 42 saves or 43 saves, whatever it was. And the point is, once you can neutralize Price, which is what Tampa Bay is now doing with Vasilevsky, last night he outplayed him. What has Montreal got? I mean, it's the one advantage that they had over every team that they've played was Price. Now they don't even have that, and Tampa's got a better roster, a more experienced roster. They're relentless. I don't see this thing turning. I don't. And so I said the other day after game one, Murray wrote off the Canadians after game one. I said I need to see what game two is, because I knew Montreal would come back strong. I knew they would tighten up defensively, and then the goalie let them down. So, could the Canadians win a game up there in Montreal? Sure. Might it go five? Could it even get to six? Yes. Are they going to beat Tampa? No way.
No. And, I mean, isn't this the way the NHL works, too? Like, once you get a team to break through, a dominant team to break through, you win, like, three or four in a row. Or you win three out of five or something like that. Like, you know, Tampa is well on their way to winning back-to-back cups, maybe three in a row, maybe three out of four. Like something like that. So, yeah, no, I would largely agree with that. I look at this and I say, man, the Bruins are not going to have an easy go of it when they get back in their division. And I tried to tell Bruins fans this early in the year. The division this year was as close to a cakewalk as you're going to get. And a lot of fans at the beginning of the year, oh, Bruins got screwed again. Look at how difficult this division is. Oh, they got the Capitals. Oh, the Islanders were in their Eastern Conference Finals. Oh, what are they going to do against the Penguins? You didn't have to face Tampa. No Tampa. There was a chance that you wouldn't have had to face Tampa until the Cup Final this year. It wouldn't have set up that way for the Bruins. They would have had to play them in the semifinal. But there was a chance before the year got started, you could have avoided Tampa all the way until the Cup Final, as opposed to playing them in the first or second round. This year was a huge advantage for the Bruins, a massive advantage when it comes to the division. Next year, you're back there with Tampa. I know Toronto's a choking team, and the Bruins specifically have their number.
Still talent there, though.
They were better than you were this year. Florida was good. Montreal's in the Cup Final. You know, then you have the bottom of the division, which stinks. But I don't think it's going to get any easier next year in that division. And just by virtue of having 1 year away from Tampa, this was a chance to make a run. And again, similar to what we were talking about with the Celtics, dangerous to cross sports, I know. But similar to what we were talking about with the Celtics, you've got to capitalize when you have that opportunity. And the Bruins had an opportunity this year. I didn't think their road was Washington and the Islanders. I didn't think that was all that difficult. Now, then they would have run into Tampa Bay in the conference final, but whatever, or the semifinal, whatever. They failed. They failed with an opportunity there and, you know, a giant pathway there for them.
So Montreal's a big variable too, Pac-Man. I mean, they're improving, right? The Canadians are getting better. So
Suzuki, Caulfield, like they have some young talent. Yep.
So they're going to be a factor in the division, and they have big defensemen, which have given the Bruins problems. You know, keeps you away from the front of that net. Now, I don't know if Montreal will necessarily be able to expose the Bruins the way, you know, that some other teams did in the postseason. Certainly the Islanders are exposed to D-Core when the D-Core got banged up. But I do think that I think Montreal's getting better, and I think they're going to be a factor in the division next year. Now, again, I'm not telling you they're winning the Cup or getting back there, but I think they're getting better, and they're a team you have to account for now. Back to your calls. Rich is in Taunton. Go ahead, Rich.
Hey, what's up, guys? So I was not a big Belichick fan in the beginning. He changed my mind over the six Super Bowls. But last season's performance coaching was sickening, like Corona. I've never seen so many penalties in key situations in my life. You know, I definitely think you can hold that against him last year. And I think it'll be better this year again, but, you know.
Yeah, Rich.
And also,
hold on,
no,
Rich.
No.
I let him go. Sorry,
no, he made a great point. I forgot a lot of penalties. The timeouts were kind of a disaster last year. That just jogged my memory. Like, how many times was like the play clock going to run out and they had to call a timeout like real quick? Like, how many times did that happen last year?
Is that Bill or Cam?
Well, let me ask you the 19 years prior. Was that Bill, which we always gave him credit for, or was that Brady?
I gave Brady credit for that. I'm on the right side of history,
Jones. Then I think you were right then to do that. A lot of us gave Bill credit for that. Great clock management. Look at them getting these plays off. How do they advance down the field so quickly? What an operation Bill has. The first time he doesn't have Tom Brady, he has to panic and call timeouts like every other coach. His team is undisciplined and takes bad penalties like every other coach. They kind of suck in the two-minute warning like every other coach. Like, I kind of forgot about that whole thing until he just brought that up.
Didn't they have too many men on the field a couple of times?
Yes.
Two? Was there that?
One. And yeah. Also, can't get lined up properly.
N'Keal Harry.
Guys on the field. Yes.
Good
yes.
point.
I mean, let's be honest here. They lost a Super Bowl because of a too many men on the field penalty. Super Bowl 46. All right, Brady was here. So, like, listen, Bill Belichick's been a great coach for 20 years. Doesn't mean that he hasn't had bad onside kicks before. Philadelphia, 2015. Doesn't mean he hasn't had horrible moments before.
Sure.
Malcolm Butler.
Yeah,
so,
yeah. No, but but notice how far apart all those decisions were. You went from 2000, what'd you say, 7 to 2012 to 2017.
15.
Like, what are you talking about?
The onside kick against the Eagles in 2015.
So that was 2015. Sorry, the Butler decision was 2017 what I meant. The Super Bowl 46 was 2011. So, like, I don't know, you're going 3-4 years every time? Like,
right, you get years between really bad
How many
ones.
Bad decisions did we just give you from last year?
Yeah,
like, we just gave you, like, 20 from last year.
I mean, here's my point, okay? They weren't a well-coached team last year.
No way.
They weren't a well-coached team last year. They didn't play like one. Now, we can attribute all of that to the talent if we want, and maybe that's right. But I'm telling you that I look at the and we got onto this today because of a coach's ranking in the NFL that was put out there by the Big Lead. Ed Belichick, number one. Jones says he doesn't deserve to be number one anymore. I disagree. I still think Bill's the best coach in the league.
I put him on probation.
Yeah. Okay, but comparing the Patriots last year, the coaching last year, to the coaching of other years, not as good. They made a lot of mistakes, a lot of coaching mistakes. The team did not play. The team did not get better as the year went along. We just talked about bad coaching decisions in terms of clock management, strategy, all of it, penalties. That's all a reflection on the coaching. If that happens with another organization, we are kicking the crap out of the head coach because we're sitting there saying, well, that's coaching. That's coaching. That doesn't happen here. It did happen here last year.
Meanwhile, as Bill's team got worse as the year went along, how did Bruce Arians' team go?
Better.
Oh, that team got better after Thanksgiving, which was a big hallmark and a big staple of Bill Belichick teams when Brady was here.
Huh. Yeah.
And we joked about it. And we joked about it as the year went along, saying that Brady's actually coaching the Bucs. So if that's the case, can we assume a measure of that was going on here? Like, maybe, I'm not telling you that Brady was coaching the team, but a measure of it, some fraction of it was taking place on the field. And so the question then becomes, again, how much confidence do you still have the same level of confidence in Bill Belichick as a coach as you have had in the past? Not as a GM, not as an evaluator of talent, the in-game stuff. Because there was a lot of in-game stuff last year that sucked. Sucked. And Matt, I know you said this earlier. You're not the only one. It was a popular refrain at the end of the year. Oh, a lesser coach wouldn't have gone 7-9. I'm not convinced of that. I'm not.
Better GM wouldn't have had Cam Newton, though.
Two of their wins came against the Jets, so they were 5-9. And Felger gets mad when I say it that way, but the Jets sucked. The Jets sucked. That was a bad team, and they were threatened in the game in New York. Patriots were.
It was a miracle they got to two wins, though. That was a great coaching job, I thought.
But I don't think it was a great coaching job last year. It drives me bananas when people say that. And the only reason we settle on that, well, lesser coach wouldn't have gotten 7-9, is because it's Bill. We're going on Bill's reputation. That's it. That's the only reason we say that. Nobody gave Joe Judge all that much credit for going 6-10 with a crap roster. I just, this one does drive me a little batty. Bill did a good job, 7-9. No, he didn't. It was all right. It wasn't. I'm not telling you it was a complete train wreck and that they were the Jets and that it was a complete mess or that their Jacksonville was a complete disaster. It wasn't that. But the Belichick standard of coaching? Oh, they didn't come close to that last year. Not even close. And if you still have faith as a fan in that, fine. I get it. The guy's reputation over 20 years is worth something. I'm not telling you it isn't. But in the same breath, I would tell you, I have some doubts about it on the offensive side of the ball. I think the quarterback is a coach on the field. I think that's what he is. But the defense, I'll give Bill credit for that. I think that he can still coach up defense, and they'll come up with a good game plan against a good offense to at least contain them. He will be able to do that. I still believe in him on that side. But on the other side, and the game management and all of it without a quarterback, I don't know. I don't know. I'm sorry to go off the rails here a little bit.
No, that works. That was concise. That was good.
617-779. So agitated. 0985 is the number. We are going to get to the Red Sox here shortly because they are beating the crap out of the Royals, who also blow. By the way, that's another story for another day. We'll continue with your calls when we come back.
Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub and streaming anywhere you go, on the Sports Hub app. BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Felger and Mass.
I'm not even going to look it up because I'd rather just deliver that to you.
Facts be damned.
Yep.
Make the shirts.
Yep.
98.5, The Sports Hub.
And here's Josh Donaldson. Ripped to left field, hit well, and back and gone. And Donaldson jumpstarts the Twins with a two-run first-inning home run.
Well, if this is how you want to send a message going into a series against a first-place team, and Donaldson did just that. You know, he was very vocal in team meeting they had a couple of days ago, and he hit a home run after that. And here, once again.
Red Sox are beating up on the Royals at Fenway Park. We'll get to them momentarily as soon as the game wraps up over there. It's 15-0.
Yeah, the Royals are good.
15-0 is the score over at Fenway Park.
Solid.
They're running up the score.
What you just heard was from a couple of nights ago, Josh Donaldson of the Minnesota Twins homered against Lucas Giolito of the White Sox. And you could just catch it at the end of it. This is getting a lot of attention in the baseball world. As Donaldson was crossing the plate, he started saying, "Hey, hand's not sticky anymore. Hand's not sticky." Which clearly rankled Giolito. Obviously a reference to a spider tack and the absence of pine tar. You know, nothing, no foreign substances on the mound at all now in Major League Baseball, with the exception of the rosin bag. That's it. In fact, the guy that got suspended for the Mariners, Santiago.
Mm-hmm. Hector Santiago, yeah.
Hector Santiago apparently had rosin on his glove. Also not allowed.
Correct.
Also not allowed. Even though the rosin bag is on the field, you're not allowed to have it on your body or on your equipment.
So when they inspected him, that's what they popped him for.
He claims it was rosin. Mm-hmm. Now, in fact, Matt McCarthy, has there been any sort of official statement from MLB about what the substance was, or any of the MLB beat people report it?
Not that I've seen. I mean, it's possible I could have missed it, but I haven't seen, you know, the CSI investigation into Hector Santiago's glove.
Okay, so what I can tell you is I did reach out to someone I know at MLB and said, "Hey, is there any word on this?" And the person said, "No, what I said is it true that rosin's allowed on the glove? Or not allowed? Is rosin allowed on the glove?" And they said no. And I took that as a yes, it was rosin on the glove, but the rules are very clear. You can't have anything on your body or
right.
on your equipment.
Right. It might be silly, like a PSI rule, but you got to follow it.
Exactly.
Right. Okay. Right.
So the rule is the rule. Okay. The rule is the rule. But that guy got popped. In any case, Donaldson homers against Giolito and then says, "Hey, hand's not sticky anymore," as if to say, suck on that. Now you can't spin it like you did before. Giolito was asked about this after the game because the audio of Donaldson that we just played, and you could just hear it faintly at the end, but it's all over Twitter. Giolito was asked about Donaldson's comment after the game. Here's what he said.
"Lucas, it looked like, looking at the replay, that Donaldson yelled something along the lines of, 'It's not sticky anymore,' after his home run in the first. Did you pick up any of that, and what's your reaction to him saying that?"
"I saw it after the fact. I mean, he's a pest. You know, that's kind of a classless move. If you're going to talk to my face, and go, you know, cross home plate and do all that. Just come to me.
I mean, is that something you've dealt with him before along those lines?
No. No, it's just annoying. We won. The W's next to my name. They're in last place.
Is that the sort of act that kind of, you know, you don't want to see it in terms of like whatever was kind of going through in terms of adjusting and how the league is changing or, you know, way he's kind of treating that situation?
It's just annoying, man. I don't really have much else to say other than that.
Okay.
I didn't see it during the game. I saw it after the fact.
So again, my bad. I didn't mean to step on him there, but Giolito's annoyed, and to his credit, he's right. He won the game.
Okay, yeah, so, and to his credit, he's right. Like, Donaldson and the Twins suck.
Yes, absolutely.
So that was a good little dig by him.
And Donaldson is one of the great hardos in baseball still. Okay, he's one of the great ones.
Always has been.
Like, yeah, he's just a, you know, look at me, hustle, you know, F you.
Eyewash.
Yeah, he's Pete Rose kind of douchebag. I mean, he's that kind of guy.
Yep.
Okay, so Donaldson was asked about Giolito's comments, and he replied, this one's a little longer, but go ahead, Jimmy.
He calls me classless. Sure, I didn't think that. I was showing him up during the game. I was talking to my bench. I didn't pimp a home run. I wasn't talking to him, saying anything. I mean, obviously, you know, he showed offense to what I said, which I think kind of speaks more about the looming question that's going on anyhow, which is more about, was he using sticky stuff before this all happened in the first place? If he wasn't, then he probably wouldn't have cared about that comment. When you look at it, you say, all right, let's go look at his numbers. What do the numbers say, right? And what do we know about the sticky substance? What does it do? What does it help with? It helps with RPMs. It helps with spin rate. Well, guess what? Mr. Giolito, your fastball spin rate's down 200. Your curveball spin rate's down 400 or 500. Your slider's down 200. If we're going to talk about class, what side are you going to choose? Are you going to take the side of someone who's playing the game fair? Or are you going to take the side of somebody that was probably cheating before this happened? I wasn't going to go on air. I already knew all those numbers before all this. I could have came out to the media and said this and spoke on it before. I chose not to. I say that to my dugout because we all talk about it before the game. Trust me, it's a hot topic among all of baseball. And the last thing that I had a, you know, he said, I wish he'd say it to my face, right? Well, I did say it to his face. We had a talk last night. And let's just be quite frank with this. He didn't have much to say. I didn't think it was that big of an issue. Obviously, he did. He was walking to the parking lot and I saw him and I went and made sure he heard what I had to say to his face because that's what he wanted. That's what he wanted. You know, he said that he thought it was annoying. I said, so what? I'm on the opposing team. What do you care about me? And I said, I'm in your face. I'm telling you what I think. What do you got to say about that? And he didn't have any response.
Okay, Jimmy, we can. I think that's the end of it, right? So I'll tell you what, we're at the top of the hour here. Matt McCarthy,
we won. The W's next to my name. They're in last place.
I mean, it's the guy from Happy Gilmore.
That's a good line.
Yeah, it is.
So McCarthy will get you caught up on headlines, and I'll tell you about what I feel about Donaldson's response. It'll take us right into the next hour because we are going to get to the Red Sox, who are annihilating the Kansas City Royals right now. McCarthy has your details.
He's a pest.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.